And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
I always like to be the toughest team. I just think that's who you are every time you step on the floor.
Just get another chance to go at it, so that's on my mind right now.
Turnovers have been a huge part, you know, of our season.
How you play defending, rebounding, playing extremely hard. Those things we have to do every night.
They're an undersized team, but they play a lot bigger than what they are.
I'm getting old.
I'm not worried about it at all, you know. He's due for a big game.
Because, you know, I do got, you know, some old knees.
Every single night, respecting everybody you play. Yeah, not going to talk about South Carolina yet. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not talking about South Carolina. I'm talking about Georgia.
Ever to 30,000.
Yeah, it was just a special moment. It's something I never set out to do.
I asked him, where did he get the carry from? He said, I froze a defender. I said, that's what a crossover is for.
And we all working towards one common goal, and that's to bring a world championship here to the Arizona Cardinals.
He's going
to
make me be the best version of myself.
So, yeah, you got to embrace it.
Really not prepared to comment on it after we got back at 3 a.m. yesterday.
Obviously, the kids that have come here are worth over $1 billion.
Welcome in. It's hour number two of the Closers. The highlights from yesterday's Mizzou combo pressers, both the men and the women dealing things. Head coach Konzo Martin, Cassius Robertson, Jordan Barnett, Coach Martin again, Kevin Puryear on Auburn, Cassius Robertson, Kevin Puryear on Barnett bouncing back, and Cassius continues to age right before our eyes with his old knees. Head coach Robin Pinchton talking about respect and then channeling her inner Bill Belichick. Fox Sports Midwest, a pair of calls. Blues win last night 3-0 over the visiting Ottawa Senators. Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. LeBron James becomes the youngest player to reach 30,000 points. And LeBron James talk about it afterward. Kevin Durant getting ejected yet again yesterday. That's a fourth time this season. Steve Wilkes chasing windmills with the Arizona Cardinals. Wants to bring in a championship. There, I'm assuming it's an NFL championship, not just some random thing that he picks up like the shopping cart transfer. Derek Carr, Trey Flowers, embracing the hate, WEEI, Mike Zimmer, and head coach John Calipari. Billions for his guys.
Billions and billions.
Billions and billions. Joining us now here on The Closers, he writes for not only Rock Am Nation, but also SB Family of Nations, already working on the 2018 football forecast. It is Bill Connolly. You can follow him on Twitter at @SBN_BillC. Is John Calipari about the best at throwing shade, and it takes you a while to realize, crap, he just threw shade at us?
Yeah, he's really, first of all, he has a certain aura of not caring, and that helps. You know, he's not necessarily interested in any of the coach speak stuff, and a lot of coaches don't care at all about ever going beyond that, so that helps. But yeah, no, he's good. He's got something, that's a lot of that in his background, and it seems to come out a little more every year.
Yeah, that, and it's fun to listen to. It seems like he has a new target with Duke and Coach Krzyzewski.
That's fine. Mutually assured destruction, I'm okay with that.
All right. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, and we'll start off on just a gross note, and we'll allow everybody to bathe in Jor-El during the break. But Larry Nassar's sentence today, and it was 40 to 125 years, so a wide range there, but suffice to say he's probably going to be going away for life. This involved his activities as a physician with USA Gymnastics, also at Michigan State University with the Spartans, where he was a team physician for not just gymnastics, but several of the other women's teams. The NCAA decides late yesterday to weigh in on this one, Bill. Is this an organization that routinely, not just late to the party, but seems to not have learned lessons from previous times?
Well, it sounded like they were almost, Michigan State was almost daring them to. Some of the quotes were just so incredibly tone deaf that it seemed like the NCAA finally just said, okay, fine. We're going to have to look into this because you're not giving us much of a choice. I really, you know, the way that the NCAA ended up getting involved with the Penn State scandal is obviously what we're going to compare this to and what everybody compares this to. And I would hope that there are some lessons learned there on the NCAA side. I would like to think that the NCAA can play a positive role in terms of at the very least, no matter what can or can't be done to punish Michigan State about what has happened, and Lord knows it took a lot more people than just Nassar for this to all play out the way it did, but I would like to think that there's a positive role the NCAA can play in reshaping the organization so it can't happen again, and looking at ways to shape an organization, period, so it can't happen anywhere else. And so if that's the direction we end up going here, I'm totally cool with it, but just like, you know, slapping on some scholarship removals or something isn't going to do a thing, so I don't know why they would get involved if that's all they're going to try to do.
Well, and what they ended up doing with Penn State was the lack of institutional control and unfair recruiting or unfair benefits, extraneous benefits that were labeled in there after the federal investigation. If you're Mark Emmert, I mean, you don't really have anywhere to go with this, so what is the NCAA's role in this?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, just going on and saying, yeah, and this too, at the end of it isn't, I mean, I would like to think they've learned some lessons there with not only what they did with Penn State, but then what they had to undo with Penn State when they realized that it just wasn't, the punishment they had levied didn't really serve the purpose, any sort of major purpose or anything. So I am curious. I don't think we know yet what the role is going to be, and I'm not sure the NCAA knows it either. It's just that I don't think they felt they had a choice, because in some of the you know, Tom Izzo was saying, well, I hope they convicted the right person. Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure they probably did. And the trustee yesterday saying, you know, the president doesn't have to resign. Yeah, there was a scandal, but look at this new arena that we got. You know, the things they've been saying have been so horrifically tone deaf, I don't think they had a choice in the matter but to at least look into it.
Yeah, and to call it the Nassar thing.
Yeah. This little annoyance that's floating around. As soon as we get rid of that, we'll be fine.
Okay, well, so we got that. And again, folks, we'll give you a moment here to lather up in Purell and then rinse off. It's going to continue on. I know the NCAA moves at a glacial pace, and so you've got that to sort of kind of look forward to. Globally, NCAA basketball and just the money that is involved in things. Dave Matter had a really great piece yesterday in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch focusing on just the University of Missouri and the athletic department losing about $4.5 million. It is also important to note that of that $4.5 million, probably $3.25 million of it came from not playing at Arrowhead. That was a $3.5 million payout 2 years ago. But just generally, as you read through that particular piece on a global scale, is that information and those trends translatable across college football, especially with the cost of doing business and how folks are looking at this going, man, I don't know if I can afford to go to an actual game?
Well, I think there's part of it. I think Missouri is still a unique case here, just because of everything that went down in 2015. Not only the combination of protest and losing, we know it takes both, but you know the downturn and the kind of the bitter taste of the protest and everything else. I do think that played a major role in the ticket sales. How much of a role? We'll start to learn here as the ship turns around. It does seem like the trends are pointing up again. But as I believe Tim Hickman said in that article, it takes a little while. It's not something when it goes back down, it takes a couple of years to go back up. And so they said they're already saying they might run a deficit again next year. But you know, I think that's going to be the interesting thing here. We kind of know why there was a spike downward, but then how much there is a rebound as compared to the rebound on the football field, hopefully a rebound on the football field, a continued rebound. That'll be the interesting part to see. How much is it just a pure impact of 2015, and how much of it is actually, yeah, we don't think this is a worthy use of our dollar at this point.
As financials come in across the nation and across, you know, all of NCAA, is there going to be, are we headed towards another discussion of branching away, of independence from an NCAA institution, especially for men's basketball and for football? Or are these financials going to get to a point where everyone's finding that black ink, red ink kind of line and operating at a zero sum?
Well, I think just the amount that people enjoy winning, they're going to keep donating, and a lot of the big schools aren't going to be impacted even slightly. But the middle ground schools, not Missouri, Missouri is going to be fine, but the kind of the lower tier of FBS, those are the interesting situations. The TV money isn't all that good there, and the quote unquote cost of doing business isn't it seems a little higher in terms of the ratio. So I think the talk of branching out isn't ever going to stop, because that's just what happens. The people in charge stars like being in charge, and they're going to always have that, you know, that little card in their back pocket of, well, we can always do this if you don't give us our way. That's part of college sport, one of the grosser parts of college sports, and it's always going to be a part of college sports. But yeah, I'm really curious about those middle teams. Conference USA, we talked about that on podcast, ain't played nobody today. Conference USA, you know, TV money, geography, there's a bunch going against that conference that they're going to have to kind of realign themselves probably with the Sun Belt and kind of just redraw some lines. And I'm curious how quickly that happens and what happens when that happens.
Nice job with the plug there. Podcast ain't played
nobody. Podcast ain't played nobody. Yeah,
Stephen Gotti. Check that out at Rock M Nation, if you would, please, and give that a listen. It's always excellent information on that one. It's kind of fun, too. Bill Conley, Rock M Nation, with us here on The Closers. As we get ready to wrap this segment up, I know we had yet Bedlam goes overtime over the weekend, and everybody's just climbing into and out of the body of Trae Young, critiquing him for what a horrible, selfish game he played, forgetting that the rest of the team sunk only 8 baskets in that particular game. Kansas loses on the road last night. Praise be to God for that one. But has basketball on a national level become fun again with some of these personalities that we have?
Yeah, the reaction to Saturday's game, certainly there was nothing fun about that. That was kind of, we had this little paternal instinct with basketball players, maybe because we see them, we see their faces more. Mm-hmm. With this paternal response to certain things on the basketball court just gets kind of gross, and I hate it, and I don't like taking part in it. But that aside, he and many, many other players, this is a really interesting mix this year of uniquely skilled players, you know, led by Young, but then also, you know, lots of freshmen and lots of interesting experienced teams, too. I don't think we're heading towards March with a good idea of, you know, here are the 2 or 3 favorites for college basketball this year, and that's usually kind of the best place to be. You know, we'll see. Maybe the favorites will emerge. Maybe, you know, maybe Villanova is as good as advertised, and they're going to be just fine. Duke's obviously not too bad, but, you know, you've got the Purdue's and Virginia's. You know, you've got the St. Mary's and Xavier's. You got weird stories like Texas Tech being awesome. Nevada. It just seems like there's a lot of a big mix this year of star freshmen and exciting personalities, and then the deep experienced other teams that it could be kind of an interesting thing to follow over the next couple months.
You got a team you're already pulling for the tournament?
Missouri.
Okay, good answer. And that is where we're going to end this particular segment, because we've got a lot of Missouri stuff. What are you laughing about over there?
That's right. We actually have something to talk about with Missouri in March. It's amazing.
Yeah, you just keep chuckling over there, Ted.
Well, it wasn't like the knee-jerk, sarcastic answer this year. It was
exactly.
Like a real knee-jerk answer, which I was. It made me happy.
It tickled you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we will. We'll continue on with Elmo on the other side over there, and along with Bill Conley, we'll talk some Missouri stuff next. You ready for that one, there, Bill?
Yep.
All right. We'll do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And almost like we never left, because, well, we really haven't, because we continue on here in hour number two of The Closers alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Bill Conley, Rock M Nation, joining us on the other side here as we do a double dip with Bill like we normally do. And it is a basketball, the heavy focus. Missouri will take on number 19 Auburn tonight. I want to get to the breakdown of that in just a little bit with you here, Bill. But Missouri at number 37 in the KenPom. People are checking out Bracketology from Joe Lunardi every Monday now, and excitement is revolving around this program. And before we get too deep into this, is this a tournament team? Is this an NCAA tournament team, the Missouri Tigers, as they are constructed right now?
Yeah, I mean, part of this is going to depend on whether the jump shot kind of starts finding the basket again. It's been a little bit of a downward trend. It's been a short trend against pretty good teams, but regardless, you know, Missouri's shooting has carried them for a good percentage of the year, and that's kind of gone away recently. So that's obviously, there's certainly some trends that need to be corrected or addressed in some way. But overall, I mean, to date, this has absolutely been a tournament team. If only, you know, one in that 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 seed range, you know, interesting talent, interesting variety, you know, in terms of who steps up from night to night. Just a really fun team to follow. This is kind of that, there was a piece written about Georgia football a few weeks ago, just about how, you know, this first year of their surge to national power, this is a fun year. After this, you have expectations, and you expect certain things to happen, but this first time around, it's just a lot more fun, and so hopefully it continues to be fun.
You know, from a program building standpoint, as fans want to settle into several years of Konzo, you know, you look at Cassius and Jordan and Michael Porter Jr. and what's leaving and as the 2018 recruiting class comes together, you know, it's you know, where are we at from a program building? I mean, hitting the ground running, you got to give him an A plus for turning the team around. But now years two and three, I mean, what's going on in that regards with this coaching staff?
Well, assuming there aren't any surprises, you know, assuming Jonte Porter and Jeremiah Tillman come back, and we're kind of assuming they will at this point. Then, I mean, you see some really nice size next year. Obviously, he's addressed the wings quite a bit in recruiting this year. And once again, a year from now, we're probably going to be talking about the point guard position. Now, granted, Jordan Geis has done some really nice things recently from the point guard position, so maybe that isn't an issue. But that's going to be kind of the interesting thing to see how he addresses that. Is it does he bring in a grad transfer? I know there are a couple of interesting JUCO point guards out there. How does he go about addressing the point guard position and kind of maybe filling in a little more depth in terms of the one and the two? I think everything else, barring surprises, everything else is looking pretty good for next year, but that's going to kind of determine how well the continuity picks up here. Obviously, there's a lot to be excited about, but yeah, that's certainly something that still needs to be addressed.
Are we going to be talking about a young team for the fourth season in a row?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of transfers that happened that we didn't necessarily expect to happen in January of the previous year. But as constituted, it would certainly seem like, you know, you have, what, two guys leaving and then, you know, this bench guy named Porter who might or might, you know, whatever with that. But, you know, that if that's all you end up losing and the rest of the roster actually experiences some level of continuity, that would be amazing. And, B, that would suggest a pretty experienced lineup next year.
Bill Connolly, Rock AM Nation. Again, follow him on Twitter at @SBN_Bill. See this team currently sitting number 37 at KenPom. They will take on number 19 Auburn tonight. On Saturday, they went down to College Station, which is just that's just a black hole of enthusiasm there. So all of that got swiped away. For Missouri to come back now and beat Auburn, is this a team that, as you look at it, Bill, on paper, that says Missouri matches up really, really well? In fact, they've got some advantage in several different areas, except for the point guard thing.
Right. Yeah, there's some tension in the matchups tonight. It's really kind of hard to know how it's going to play out ahead of time. Number one, Auburn plays fast, and Missouri assuredly does not. And so how well either team is able to define the game in that regard will be kind of interesting. And Auburn lets you take a lot of threes. You know, for all the pressure they try to build on defensively, they will give up three-point shots. And if Missouri chooses tonight to remember how to put the ball in the basket from three-point range, as opposed to kind of three of the last four games they haven't. If that works for Missouri, then Missouri's in very good shape for tonight. It's just that if the three isn't falling, you start to look at the other matchups and realize that Auburn, in terms of the fouls and the rebounds and everything else, the ball movement, the matchups turn in Auburn's favor really fast. So I've been complaining all season about how, you know, it's so easy to analyze a college basketball game by saying, well, did the three ball go in or not? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the story for Missouri tonight, I think. They're going to get some decent looks, and they need to make them.
Is the pace of play, though, as we look at this, and Missouri getting down into the mid-60s as far as possessions per game, is that more of a design to protect Jordan Geis and the lack of a point guard position?
It kind of seems like it, yeah. It is. It has. Missouri was never like top 20 pace or anything early in the year, but they were faster early in the year, and things have slowed down. Part of that could just be a natural, you know, conference play kind of situation. There aren't as many transition opportunities, but it does seem like a concerted effort to slow the game down. And I mean, that's in Konza Martin's DNA. He's always been on the lower end of the tempo scale, and B, knowing the situation with the backcourt and wanting to keep things under control for a shaky point guard position, it would make some sense if you immediately see that and think, let's slow the game down.
We like to do our trifectas here before games and before weekend games, but have you noticed any kind of statistical correlation with the game score? Who's in the trifecta versus wins and losses? When certain players are more effective, it translates more often to wins?
I hate to say this because I don't have the data in front of me, but it does. Jonte Porter has been a big X factor on this team. Scoring from the number four position has been very, you know, when that happens, A, it opens everything else up, and B, Missouri becomes extremely hard to beat. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would say that, you know, either Jonte or Kevin Poirier, if they're delivering, if they get into that 10 to 15 point range, then Missouri becomes a very difficult team to handle, considering they do pretty well on the board. Considering the way they limit other teams from getting good shots, if they're getting good production from that spot, they're a load.
Bill, we expected a little bit of Terrence Phillips this year. You know, you had Blake Harris, and he's been just a disappearing act. Has Phillips spent more time on the bench than he has on the court this year? Is it the timing of the fouls? Is it a defensive liability? Is he just kind of inside his own head rattling around? What are you seeing about him just on a numbers per usage rate?
Well, the turnovers and the fouls committed are certainly higher this year. I've been saying all year, like, I think the thing he needs to get him to find his rhythm is more playing time, but he's not going to get the more playing time if he's making his mistakes, because Konzo Martin is the kind of guy who's going to, he knows the things he's looking for in every player, and if he sees the opposite of that immediately, he's going to yank you and put you right back on the bench. We've seen that a lot with Terrence Phillips. Obviously, there's hustle potential there and everything else, but the turnovers and the fouls have been far higher than they should be for him to earn more playing time, and so he is kind of in a catch 22 at the moment,
or not a catch at all for
there
him right now. All right, Missouri is kind of an important weekend here, a week coming up. You've got number 19 Auburn tonight, and then you're back on the road at Mississippi State, and then you close out the month of January with Alabama. If you are improving your tournament resume and all you're able to do is win home games, what does that do for your resume?
Well, I think, you know, Missouri's been a decent road team so far. Mm-hmm. The South Carolina, the problem is, you know, they broke serve, they won out South Carolina, and they couldn't quite close the deal against Florida, and so that flipped it back around. But I think overall, this team has shown a little bit of, you know, the UCF game, the South Carolina game, I think they've shown a little bit on the road, you know, and their ability to come back against Arkansas and make that a game after a really bad slump. So the home road doesn't, I'm not worried about that. I think they'll play pretty well on the road. The biggest thing that other than the three-pointer not falling is, you know, they have not been a very good first-half team recently, home or away. And they can do themselves a lot of favors by figuring out some answers earlier than they have so far. So that's gonna be a big thing here. This is a... You referenced Ken Pomeroy's rankings. The next three games are basically 50-50 shots. Mm-hmm. If they can win two out of these three, they're in very good shape, I think. There are some wins later on, but if they can get to a game above 500 by next Saturday by next Wednesday, then I think the tournament situation is looking pretty good.
I know the first half against Tennessee, while it had really good pace, it wasn't much for scoring, and at times it made you claw your eyes out because the chances were there, just not made. Is Missouri having a hard time adjusting to how a game is being called right now, trying to keep Jonte and Jeremiah on the floor?
You can certainly make that case because it is called differently from game to game, and you know the lineups have been different based on foul trouble from game to game. So you could certainly make a case that they have to kind of feel a game out to know how they're going to go about winning. And by all means, they've done a really nice job, especially beginning of the second half. They respond, but the problem is the adversity gets pretty high before they have a chance to respond, and that does catch up to you.
Bill Conley, Rock Am Nation. Terrence Phillips tonight, will he have more minutes or will he have more combined turnovers and fouls?
I'm going to be nice. I'm going to say more minutes. He is... we've been saying it for a while. At any point, if he starts to stabilize a little bit and give Missouri even 10 good minutes, decent to good minutes a game, that certainly solves that. That takes less off of Jordan. That takes a little bit off of Jordan Geist's plate, and that's a very good thing. But yeah, we'll say that he's still going to get 5 or 6 minutes, but he won't have 5 or 6 turnovers and fouls.
Okay, three games this between now and the next time we visit. Well, actually, they'll play again that following Wednesday night, next Wednesday night against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. 3-0, 2-1, 1-2, 0-3. How do you see this next three set working out for this Tiger team?
Yeah, I'm going to assume that the three-pointer hasn't gone away for good. I'm going to assume they have another one of these games. They have a nice hot streak from three-point range, and then they grind out another win. So I'm going to say 2 out of 3. I still feel pretty good about the team. It's just, you know, a lot of moving pieces here, a lot of first-half slumps, and they're, you know, so basically every game ends up a little bit of a grind.
Well, maybe we should just sell discount coffee. Just welcome to the grind at the Mizzou Arena.
Why discount coffee? I like the good stuff.
Okay, well, yeah, but discount that stuff. What?
Nothing.
Well, Mr. Pinky
stuff,
out over
discounted,
there.
That's fine.
Yeah, we'll discount the Starbucks and okay, such there you as go. That. Okay, you good with that then?
Sure.
All right, very good. Let's switch over to football really quickly Missouri has signed a new quarterback joining the fray, a rather crowded field under center. Lindsey Scott Jr., JUCO transfer coming into this program. If you're the other guys not named Drew Locke and you see this signing, what are you thinking?
Well, it's a little different because he's a JUCO guy, mm-hmm. so he's not an incoming freshman. But, I mean, anywhere you go, they're going to try to sign a quarterback every year. So it can't be all that different. You just have to, you know, trust your abilities. It is going to be interesting, though, when you think about, I mean, he's going to be, a sophomore coming in next year. Micah Wilson's a sophomore. Taylor Powell's a redshirt freshman. You have to, if you're Missouri, if you're Barry Odom, you have to prepare for turnover in that case for whoever doesn't win the job mm-hmm. in 2019. I think that's pretty obvious knowing what we know about quarterback transfers and everything else. That's going to have to be kind of baked in here. And the fact that Scott is a sophomore to be and not a freshman, a sophomore who can't redshirt much, no less,
right.
It does make for a crowded field. And as long as they're prepared for that and prepared to recruit a couple extra quarterbacks in 19 and 20, I guess that's fine.
All right, moving a couple of chairs around on the offensive side of the football in Andy Hill, longest tenured guy, moves over to special teams coordinator, while A.J. Ofadale, who has just recently been added as that 10th assistant, moves in as your wide receiver coach. Is there any significance to that, or is this just like, oh, okay, cool, we moved a few chairs around?
Well, right. I mean, at some point, if Andy Hill wants to complete his bingo card, he needs to move over to the defensive side. But this was the positions I don't think end up mattering all that much. There's a technique thing here. There's a competition thing. But I think it's going to be kind of it's hard to know. I mean, I'm assuming Andy Hill will figure out how to coach special teams pretty well. He's done everything else reasonably well too. So that's really all I can think of at the moment. Is it's probably fine, but it is interesting.
All righty. Oh, and Caleb Pruitt dismissed from the team. How big of an impact is that this late in this recruiting process to try to replace?
Right. I mean, another position it might be worrisome, but the fact that he's they have a lot of safeties right now, mm-hmm. and I think that's especially with a couple of the freshmen we saw last year, it's going to be an easier position to kind of absorb that blow, and it's better now than like late August too. So there's that.
Yes, there certainly is. Bill Conley, Rock M Nation. Who you got tonight? Missouri, number 19, Auburn.
Maybe it's just because it's at home, but I feel pretty good about Missouri. I think it comes down to three-point shooting. I think they're kind of due is not really a statistically valid term, but I think they're due a nice knack from the arc, and I think that's what we'll see.
That due is not a significant statistically significant marker, but should the fans leave at the Missouri Walls or sit back in their seats because the fun will begin?
Well, all these 8 o'clock tip-offs, if you're tired, then maybe you just go on home. But there should be a pretty fun finish, I'm guessing.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to sit through the entirety of the game because that's part of my gig here. So tired or not, I'm sticking through. I would advise the rest of the fans, stand in solidarity with me tonight and stick it through the rest of the game. Bill, thank you for the time, man. I appreciate it. Bill Conley, Rock AM Nation. We'll be right back.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to The Closers here as we roll on through hour number two of the program. We are going to have for you, didn't get anybody call in? They're probably running from the office to the car, so they missed it. We have a four-pack of tickets for Royals Fan Fest coming up Saturday at the Kansas City Convention Center at Bartle Hall. Saturday, January 27th. Doors will open at 9 a.m. These are GA tickets in Royals Fan Fest this Saturday, and it is at the Kansas City Convention Center. So if you'd like that four-pack along with a a really nice Royals baseball cap. We've got that set up for you at 442-8255. Otherwise, the phone lines are open at 442-8255. For Missouri Tiger basketball tonight, they will take on the 19th-ranked Auburn Tigers. There's a lot to cuss and discuss about this game, probably more tomorrow, depending on how the outcome goes. But Missouri's trying to do something they haven't done since 2012. That is go back-to-back against ranked foes. I know the loss to Texas A&M, you're like, well, how can you go back-to-back if you had a loss in the middle? Well, this is an opportunity to beat back-to-back teams. 442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
Yeah, something about I can get a Royals. What is it, tickets or something?
Yeah, Royals Fan Fest tickets for Saturday. Is that something that would be of interest to you, and can you go?
Are they Royals Caravan coming or something?
No, this is you have to actually go to Kansas City.
Oh, my. Oh, never mind.
So that'd be a no.
Never mind.
Okay, all right.
Thanks.
All right, no worries. Yeah, it is at the Kansas City Convention Center.
Right.
Which means you've got to saddle up and head out to Royals Fan Fest. So if you'd like those tickets, we've got them for you. It's a four-pack, but it is in Kansas City. These are a retail value, $15 a piece, four-pack for you. So 442-8255 if you'd like to do that. Local flavor on the call tonight, Tom Hart, John Sunvold, which means Sean Farnham has been exiled elsewhere, so he can talk about everything else that's going on in the world of college basketball except the game that's going on right in front of him.
Plenty of talk about college football, though.
Yeah, well, there is some stuff to talk about there for him as well. But this is a good matchup for this Missouri Tiger basketball team because it's not the length of Texas A&M, 442-8255. Good afternoon.
Hey, George.
Yes.
Deuce.
Yes, Deuce.
Hey, you said that Royals Royals thing is this weekend?
Yes.
I'd be interested in that.
It's in Kansas City.
I understand that.
Okay.
I think I have, I could definitely use two, if not all four.
Okay. All right, Deuce. Wow. All right. Larry, give me your last name, man.
Wyatt, W-Y-A-T-T.
Okay. All right, I will not ask you for your cell phone over the air because people will call you. what you'll need to do, though, is you'll need to come in here to the studio tomorrow between 8 and 5 or Friday between 8 and 5, and you can pick up this four-pack. You'll need to provide identification.
Understood.
Okay, and then there's also a really snappy-looking Royals cap for you as well.
Okay, that's nice.
All right?
I could use one.
Okay. It's brand new, too. It's right out of the bag.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right.
All right, go Tigers.
All right, thanks. M-I-C.
V-O-U.
There you go. All right, so Larry Wyatt claiming our pack for today. We'll have another set for tomorrow to give away. Actually, I think we'll have two sets, right? One in the first hour, one in the second hour.
Probably so.
Along with a really nice Kansas City Royals baseball hat. So, all right. Wow. Land of distractions. But that's okay.
That's what we do here.
It is. It is. Missouri, Auburn tonight. As I mentioned, they're not going to have to deal with the size like they did with down at Texas A&M. But Texas A&M brings a couple of things, especially when they got DJ Hogg back. They brought size and really good point guard play.
Mm-hmm.
Or really guard play, really good guard play in general. I don't think you're not going to have this tonight.
Right.
You're going to have a team that's not bigger than 6'7" amongst any of them, which means Jontay Porter and Jeremiah Tillman have a 3 to 4 inch height advantage over the tallest player that Bruce Pearl can run out there. That's the good news.
Okay.
The bad news is Auburn, much like Tennessee, gets nearly 22 points per game from the free throw line.
Boy, if there's an Achilles heel, that could be it.
Mm-hmm. Now, they did a good job against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Mid-60s possessions. Auburn's going to want to run. So expect this game to be in the upper 60s, low 70s for possessions. Got to be efficient, though.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be efficient. Against Texas A&M, Missouri was just 50% from layup range. We called it the bunny range. 10 of 20.
Ugh.
That's not good.
It's not good.
They can finish. You got to finish, okay? You got to go. You got to go strong to the rack, and you got to finish
mm-hmm.
with malice aforethought.
That'd be good.
Kevin Purrier.
Right.
No finger rolls tonight, Kevin, okay?
Finish.
Go strong. Reed Nico, please do not get your two-hand dunk blocked twice. You got to be strong at the rim tonight, because Auburn will also out-rebound you if you are not careful.
It's true.
Foul trouble and guard play. My two keys to tonight's basketball game. For you, sir, what are they?
I think, unfortunately for Bill Conley and listeners that have listened to us talk to Bill, I think this is going to be ball in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
If this team, you know, if they don't get their true shooting up, you know, over a 43%, 44% over the whole thing, I mean, they have got to be more efficient. When they have a possession, they have got to get the ball in the basket. And whether that's inside, outside, doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. I don't think against this team you even have to play the Warriors math game.
Okay.
But I really, really think that you've got to be able to just really value that ball and value putting points on the board.
Yeah, I think value in the basketball is going to be huge tonight, because you cannot afford Auburn, who's going to want to run, to get out and run off of your turnovers. Ask Georgia how that worked out. They had a 14-point lead Saturday afternoon at Auburn and lost by 14. That's a 28-point turnaround.
Yeah.
And mostly what Auburn did in that second half was they pressured you, they turned the ball over, and they got points off turnovers. And they crashed the glass. So that gets you back to the three areas that we're looking at here tonight, and one area that we know is a weakness. And if you've got the personnel to go up against Missouri and press them, that's what you want to do. Force Jordan Geist into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Use the timeline in the sideline or the baseline in the sideline as extra defenders for him. And Cassius brought this up yesterday with the media, Jay, and you're sitting there and you're listening to that. He said, we got to move the ball. It gets stuck.
Yeah, they definitely lose a little bit along the way. So, you know, when they don't... They had a high turnover rate earlier in the mm-hmm. season, but a lot of that was because of extra passes.
Yep.
So they got to get back to that, I think.
Yeah, with the bigs. And that's unusual. You don't normally ask your bigs to pass back out again or get a lot of assists, but that's something that Jontay Porter does. 442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
Thank you, guys. Always enjoy your show.
I have a
question. Excuse me, more about the arena. Number one, is there public parking around the arena, or do you have to cross? Or do you have to park across stadium and walk over? If you don't know that, I understand, but I'm just curious.
There are various lots around the arena. I know that there are some. Many of them are passed lots. You got to have a pass for them. There is parking on the other side of stadium. There is also parking down at Reactor Park. They are running shuttles.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
They do run shuttles.
Yes, okay. I know.
I'm an old man and haven't been to a ball game in ages.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
So, number two.
Yes.
You know, they sold out. Are there still walk-up tickets?
Tonight, I don't know if there are going to be. Okay. I would suggest calling ahead to see if there are walk-up tickets available.
I'm not going to make it in the future. Just call the ticket office.
Yeah. Yeah, and okay. what they will do is they oversold the student section because they knew that, you know, not all of the students are going to be available for every single game, and a lot of those are the tickets that are re-released back to the public. Vivid Seats online is also an authorized ticket reseller. And
what is? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Vivid,
V-I-V-I-D. Oh, Vivid. Okay, so
yeah, Vivid Seats.
I'm familiar with Vivid.
Yeah, you just go to mutigers.com.
Okay.
And when you go to the schedule, you can click on the game, and it'll walk you through if there are tickets available. And because there is no Michael Porter Jr. right now, the tickets are a really reasonable rate.
Good.
So there is an upside to him not playing basketball right now for the Tigers.
Just as a wild question, even if he doesn't come back this year,
mm-hmm.
do you think he'll play next year?
NBA or here?
Here.
Oh, no. No, I think
I'm not going to hold you anything, George. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think he goes. I mean,
how about Jontae?
That's a really interesting question because
if he could get the two bigs back,
mm-hmm. Here's the interesting part about Jonte is there are times he looks like a first round draft pick in the NBA, and there are times he looks like an 18-year-old kid just trying to find his way out there.
He's still a kid.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's 18.
Ready for that? He's a kid.
Yeah,
and so is JT. I mean, these are man-childs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see what happens. Always enjoy the show, and hats off to JT. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate the call. All right, so yeah, that is the one thing. Listen, weather's going to be fairly decent. It'll be a little chilly. They are running shuttles from all the exterior lots, and including the lighter lots. So head on out there. I know it's an 8 o'clock tip, and I know I whine about it a lot, but that's my prerogative.
Right.
I'll call you at 4:30 in the morning, make sure you're still up, because you will be.
I probably will be.
Yeah, you probably will be.
Yep.
All right. We've got about 3.5 minutes left here on the show. Let's thank our guest today, Taylor Posehl, head coach of the 11th ranked and currently on a 9-game win streak at Columbia College women's basketball team. Also, Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com and Bill Conley from Rock M Nation. Really appreciate all of their time for hanging out with us here today. It's awesome, and it was heavy basketball, heavy basketball today. So, yeah, if you go to the Missouri Tiger website and the Missouri basketball schedule, there is a hot link right at the very top that says Vivid Seats. You just click on that one, and that'll take you to the Missouri basketball reselling site. And for tonight, just as a quick primer for you, tickets are available. Lower level, anywhere from $39 to $77. And there are some upper level seats available as well. All right, real quick, we'll get to this call, and then we got to do our picks and our trifectas. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
Hey, you talked about that Vivid ticket.
Yeah.
You can also buy a parking pass on Vivid, and it's way over there by the Marching Mizzou practice field, but still you can buy a parking pass that's on that side of stadium. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Yeah. So okay, and there are the shuttles available, so it's not like you got to, you need a Sherpa to get to the arena.
But if somebody really wanted to have a parking pass, you can buy one.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you.
Next day air, but whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, at least it gets you in the same zip code as the arena.
Porter or no Porter, go watch the Tigers.
That's right.
See.
Yep. All right. ZOU, thank you. Appreciate the call. All right. Here we go. The moment you've all been waiting for. We make our picks and our trifectas.
Okay.
Some days are good. Some days we are forced by the rules of the show to talk about them.
Right.
So with that in mind, do you want to go first or shall I?
Go.
All right. I am picking Missouri tonight. I want to see them go back-to-back against ranked foes. I think they can do it. This is a much better matchup for them than the black hole at College Station. My trifecta, Kevin Puryear. Welcome back, brother. We missed you. Jonte Porter.
Welcome back.
We missed you. Get rid of that bagel, if you would, please, on the field goal made portion. And Cassius Robertson.
All right.
So there you go.
Okay,
that's what it's
good.
All about.
I like it. I'm going to also pick Mizzou.
Okay.
I agree.
God,
I think
we're picking with our hearts, aren't we?
I think the back-to-back. No,
okay.
Back-to-backs. We're all about it. I think also, however, for mine, lately, and it sounds weird to say, as Jordan Geist goes, so goes the Tigers.
Ooh.
So Geist, Tillman, and Barnett.
And Jordan Barnett. So expecting a bounce back from JB?
Yes.
So you're pinning your hopes this time around on Jordan Geist.
You betcha.
All right. I'm sure that'll end spectacularly this evening. I hope it does.
Why wouldn't it?
I hope we have a trifecta times two.
Correct.
Because we differed all the way around.
Yep.
I've got Puryear, Porter, and Robertson. Jay has Geist, Tillman, and Barnett. We both have picked Missouri. We will both... Well, you'll discuss tomorrow. I've got senior day for Missouri swimming and diving tomorrow over at the Mizzou Arena. That'd be interesting, over at the Mizzou Aquatic Center. So that'll take me away. So you will be able to gloat and or shame in my absence.
I will shame myself.
Okay. Yeah, we've gotten pretty comfortable doing that recently. So, yeah, anyway. All right. Missouri and Auburn tonight, tomorrow night. It is going to be Missouri and Georgia, the 21st-ranked Georgia Lady Bulldogs hosting the Missouri Tigers tomorrow night. That is on the SEC Network Plus, which is the internet platform, the streaming platform. So make your way around that one. But tonight, SEC Network, Tom Hart, John Sunvolt on the call, Missouri and Auburn, 8 o'clock. The tip time. Jay Sparks, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really do appreciate it. Congratulations to Larry Wyatt. Four-pack of Royals Fan Fest tickets. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, please be careful out there.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.